Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Bloody Good Horror. My name's Eric, and I'll be your host for this evening, where we will be reviewing Totally Killer. I remember to John joining me tonight. First up, from the Bay Area of San Francisco, please welcome Matilda back to the show.
Hello.
Here with the latest update on knitting.
That's right.
Did you prepare? I feel like he sprung that on you.
I'm fresh off the retreat, so I'm ready to talk old lady stuff.
Okay, we're going
to
talk about that later. Let me write it down for
that. I was going to say, she's got news.
From Indiana, please welcome Casey.
Radical.
Yes, and last up from Manhattan, New York City, our beloved East Coast elite. Please welcome John Schnars to the show.
Ahoy, Eric.
How are you feeling today, John?
Okay. Pretty good. Pretty, you know, what do I got? It's a Wednesday.
We're going to talk about Totally Killer tonight, which is like they go back in time to the 80s. So I'm pretty excited to talk about all the things that I love.
The like things you can remember from when you were seven in 1989.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Fine.
Casey, I don't want to put Matilda on the spot, but you know, I feel like my 80s memories are, it's like a handful of commercials basically that I saw all the time when I was, you know, seven.
Yeah, but it's like that magical nostalgia where like you were too young to really know any of the bad stuff. Like,
true.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're old enough to remember stuff at seven, John.
Like, no, why don't you remember? I like can remember being alive in the 80s, but like, it was the back end, and I don't remember a ton.
I spent most of the 90s like overdosing on 80s culture, so that's kind of where
the Teddy Ruxpin commercial. Do you guys remember the Teddy Ruxpin commercials? Because
sure.
I assume that came out in the 80s, and that fuck, I could still do the song. My buddy, do you remember my buddy?
Yeah,
you know,
my buddy.
Yeah,
my buddy.
But I don't claim the 80s. Like, I was born in the early 80s, but I don't like claim the 80s the way I like. You know,
I claim the 80s.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's Casey's time.
Yeah, I think Casey and I are about the same.
We started high school in 89.
There you go. Okay.
I mean, I started in 88. Cool, yeah, so like, this is close.
Yeah.
The 90s was cool, class in 92. Also like puberty, and we don't need to relive that. So
yeah,
let's go back to the 80s. It was a simpler time, John.
Prepubescent.
Yes. That's right. All right. Let's take a quick break and review Totally Killer.
This is it, Jennifer. Your big break in TV. From the prime time.
Main feature.
John, can I ask you a question that I know you don't know the answer to?
You can try. I mean, you assume I don't know the answer.
Do not know this answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Do you know who the guy is? Did you recognize the guy who plays the like podcast producer guy?
Vaguely, but I can't place him.
You Casey? Mean,
he's like one of the main characters. He's who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in a little art film, John, called Jason X.
Ooh. Oh, interesting.
Do you remember anything about that movie?
Yeah. I remember when
they're kind of like on like
freezes
a floating
the guy.
They're like in space, but they're like students for some reason.
Yeah.
He's the professor guy.
Jonathan Potts.
That's him.
It's interesting. His like, you know, Wikipedia picture makes him look a lot younger than either that or they make him look a lot older in this movie.
Mm-hmm. It took me a second. He had hair in Jason X, but so did I when that came out, and it was 20 years ago. So.
He is credited with one of his credits is The Legend of Zelda 1989. So presumably
that was probably
that was like
the animated
one, that they did back then. Amazing.
All right, John.
Mm-hmm.
Please bring us the word of the day.
Eric, today's word is graviton. That's graviton. GRAVITON. Graviton.
There's no R in it?
Not in the real word. a hypothetical particle.
That's like a real life Mandela effect.
Yeah. Well, it's a hypothetical particle with zero charge and rest mass that is held to be the quantum of the gravitational field.
Is that why they named that right? That?
No, I don't think so. This is a word from quantum physics. It dates first known use 1942. And etymology, it's like it's gravity, and then they put on at the end. So there you go. But 1942,
love it.
They were making the A-bomb, and then they were like, "Hey, graviton, let's just roll with that." I guess.
Why don't you tell me about Totally Killer?
All right, Totally Killer. So this is a movie. It is directed by a woman whose name I'm going to try to pronounce, and then Matilda will tell me how I did. I am going to go with Nanachaka Khan. Her last name I can do. Nanachaka. Pretty good. You like?
I think it may be Nanachka.
Nah,
that was not even close, John.
I know, it wasn't.
What do I know her from?
So she's had a really...
I know I've seen that name and thought, there's no way I know
she's her.
Fresh out the boat.
Yeah, she's had like a really long and storied career in TV. You mean
the ABC sitcom with... What's her face there? What's her name?
Well, it's the guy...
It's Randall Park.
Yeah,
Constance
Randall Park.
Constance Wu and Randall Park, yeah.
Yeah. Who's so fresh off the boat, she was the showrunner. She was also the creator of Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
That show is incredible. Have you seen that show?
I have not seen it. I'm familiar.
Like one of my all-time favorite shows.
So she made that show. She's directed, at least from what I could tell, and maybe I missed something, she's directed one other feature, which was Always Be My Maybe with Randall Park and Ali Wong. And then she does this movie. I don't have the IMDb up. She may have gotten a writing credit here, although I saw a couple other writers as well. David Madelon, Sasha Pearl, something or other. Yeah, so maybe they, I don't know. She's not one of the core main writers, at least on IMDb. It stars Kiernan Shipka as Jamie. Who Jamie is, I mean, maybe they say, she's a junior in high school.
People would know her from Mad Men.
Correct. And then Sabrina.
Sabrina
on Netflix. Yeah.
Yes.
She's done other things, but those are like the two.
That's specifically what made me feel old while watching this movie is like, like knowing her as a child actress when I was already an adult, and now she's an adult as well.
So she is, they like moved to the age and all that, like lower. What's her birth?
I'm going to guess she's 23.
Someone's going to have to pull it off Google. It's not like easily accessible on IMDb anymore. John. They made the IMDb pages like a complete disaster.
What's her
anymore.
Name? Tell me.
Kiernan Shipka.
She's 24. I'm going to type on Aaron.
24. All right, there you go.
I was right.
I feel like we've done at least one other movie with her in it.
No, she's 23. She turns 24 in 2 days, Casey. So
all right.
I was right.
All right, guy.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Kiernan Shipka, she plays junior in high school. Jamie, her mom is, what's her name? Julie Bowens?
Oh, Bowen. From Modern Family.
Yes, Pam. And then her dad... What the dad's Lachlan
she was,
Monroe?
She was also in.
Blake?
She was also in one episode of Dawson's Creek, John. But that's
well. Oh, so my Julie Bowen thing. I've never watched Modern Family. Like, don't. I mean, I know she's in it. I know she's like one of the stars of the show. My Julie Bowen is Happy Gilmore. Like,
oh yeah,
what, like Gilmore. What else is there? Yeah. You don't need any. And what was funny is Suzanne had to have like some dental surgery on Friday, so she like took a half day at work, comes home. She literally like rents Happy Gilmore on Amazon. So like I came home, she's like watching Happy Gilmore. And then I like turned this movie on and I was like, oh, there she is. Julie Bowen. 27
Man,
years
wild.
Later.
Yeah. Did that surprise you or does that fall in line with what you know about your wife?
Oh no. I mean, it's like, that's like her, you know, it's her happy place is Happy Gilmore. Ooh. So
I like that.
Yeah, but so you've got Jamie, you've got her parents, Blake and Pam. Jamie has a friend, Amelia, I think, or no, Lauren, no, Amelia. And what is, oh, there's a killer, and there had been this like famous murder in their town in 1987. This takes place in present day.
Essentially a slasher kind of situation.
Yeah, like three teen girls had been murdered all in and around Halloween over the course of like a week or so. The case had never been solved. What's the town called? The town has like some name. All right. Vernon. Not that it's like super important. It's just like one of those like every town type names. So she is, they, this is like a little bit of one of these like ridiculous setups. There's a science fair that they're getting ready for. Amelia, her best friend, is like a genius. And her science fair project is a time machine that she's building in a photo booth. So she's got that going on. Meanwhile, Kiernan slash Jamie is just like beefing with her parents. I can't even remember. They like get into some disagreement. She leaves. The mom is then murdered by the killer from the 1987 time. Kiernan Shipka doesn't see that, but like we see it. There's like some other shit. There's Eric, you mentioned the podcaster. He's doing a true crime podcast and he's been like trying to like, he's like made this case and like kept this case alive to a certain extent. And it's like, his dad is also like a famous newscaster. There's a lot of shit going on in this movie. What happens is Kiernan Shipka then goes to the time machine and is like, I need to go back in time to like solve this murder to save my mom. The friend is like, I can't fix the time machine. Kiernan Shipka gets attacked. Oh, and by the way, the science fair is happening at an amusement park that is like a defunct amusement park, just because there's no excuse given for why that's happening, but that is what they're doing. She gets attacked. The killer stabs the time machine because the time machine wasn't working, but the killer stabs the time machine. That causes the time machine to work.
Science.
Jamie now goes back in time. She arrives basically the day before. I think it's the day of the first murder. And so then like immediately sets out to like go and try to solve that case or unwind what's going on, protect the girls who are being killed. She quickly realizes that the three women who are killed were best friends with her mom. And they were actually like the mean girls of their school. They were called the Mollies.
Oh my God, her own mom being mean to her in the past was amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So, I mean, that's the setup. We'll get into like all the ridiculous shit.
It's basically like if you mashed up Happy Death Day with a Hot Tub Time Machine.
Like down to the scene when she comes out of the time machine was almost the exact same scene in Hot Tub Time Machine.
Where they're like catching him up on her up. Yeah. Well, and I'm an aficionado of Hot Tub.
I know. It's like one of your faves. So, yeah. There you go. That's it.
Love it. All right, Matilda, what'd you think?
Yeah, so I had been hearing about this one that I needed to watch it, but I hadn't watched it until we did it for this show. I thought this was kind of like light and joyful, and it reminded me a little bit of like a mashup of like Back to the Future and like the reboot of Slumber Party Massacre. Kind of like this way that like female directors are taking 80s slashers and redoing something that to make something new and kind of self-aware come out without being too didactic about it. It kind of reminded me the way that it looks at the 80s kind of reminded me a little bit of like the reboot of 21 Jump Street, where like it's funny and then it moves on. Like it's not too didactic. It's kind of like a sitcom for horror fans.
21 Jump Street, it's kind of treading the same comedic water where essentially it's really focusing on what's different about the generations and why that's funny. It's just from the reverse.
Yes. Yeah. And there were some like great girl dynamic things that kind of were a throwback to Heathers and other things that I thought were really interesting in this movie. But otherwise, it was just light. It was such a nice kind of, as much as I am a total horror snob, so I love horror that is about grief and trauma and all those things. That tends to be my lane. This was like a little bit of joy. This was like a little bag of Skittles in the middle of all that. Yeah.
Love it. Casey, what'd you think?
First of all, I'll say with my Julie Bowen thing, I was just watching Modern Family before we started this. We're in the middle of like our third or fourth rewatch. So I strongly recommend watching, giving it a shot.
Casey has a crush.
Well, yeah, that too. I mean, I've seen Happy Gilmore too.
That's true. It was a formative experience.
Exactly. I'm spot on with Matilda. This movie, more than anything, I thought it was a blast. Now, if you want to pick it apart and get into, you know, all the timey-wimey stuff, it may not hold up. But this kind of movie, I don't care. And I think they were setting out to give us a movie that we don't care. It's fun. It's an adventure. I loved all the turns. Like Matilda talked about, there's a lot of nods to some good 80s film genre stuff in there, like the Heathers and the Mean Girls, and the Mollies, etc. There's a lot of little fun nuggets in there, and they're kind of like Easter eggs. Some of them are really subtle. You know, if you're watching, you'll catch them out of the corner of your eye or a throwaway line, and it's going to make you laugh. And that's what makes this movie a lot of fun. I think the cast was all really good, too. And Kieran Shipka, I mean, to me, she feels like she's pretty genre friendly after coming out, you know, doing Sabrina and then coming on this. And I think she's got a good feel for it. But this movie pairs up. She fits in well with that same genre with, and this movie is as well, freaky, Happy Death Day, Happy Death Day 2, and those type of movies. There's those block of fun horror comedies, and
it's they really a lot captured of Happy this. Death Day 2 when they're like making, because in the sequel, it's all about them
yeah,
making
isn't
a time
it?
Machine.
Yeah, there's like a time yeah. travel thing.
But this movie pairs well with those, and it's the same type of humor. I think they've got a perfect balance between horror and comedy, and there's a lot to the point where, like Matilda was saying, you know, it's a nice breath of fresh air when it's not going, you know, with the themes on trauma and grief and stuff like that. There's, I got to, and like with the feminist points and stuff, with the women, I can't remember how you put it, Matilda, so I'll keep on going.
But she used the word didactic, but I don't know what that means, so you're going to have to figure that out on your own.
The fact that when Kieran and Shipka gets back to the 80s, and they do this a lot throughout the movie where people say stuff that was standard in the 80s, and she makes a comment, it's like, oh, that's gross, or that's racist, or you can't say that. But they do it tongue in cheek. So it's not like them trying to drive home, this isn't right. They know it's a different era. It's going to be different. Fully, and they wink at it.
I would say fully half of the jokes are that, if not like 75%. I had a good time watching this. It is like everything you guys said is true. It is light. It is breezy. Matilda, you described it as like sitcom for horror people. Like the director Khan, her background, like once I went and like looked at everything she'd done, I was like, this makes total sense.
Well, like, it also like looks like one. Like it's kind of my only complaint is it's just real bland looking.
100%. Totally agree. It's like, I say that both in like the good way and the bad way, right? Like it doesn't, you know, it's the jokes all feel that way. It's also, look, again, I was young in the 80s, but like, this movie, and this is like a thing in like modern, like when they do these types of things, like the high school that they are talking about in the 80s, while it has a racist mascot name, is like the most racially integrated school of any school you will ever see in the 80s. Like, again, like in the early 90s, I was in middle school. Like,
I've been waiting for you to talk about how there wasn't any bullying in the 80s. When
we started no, there, I actually think there probably was more bullying in the 80s than today.
I
but
think so.
No, like, I look, all it's all very like fun and breezy and like a little like whatever. Like they're not digging too deep on anything here.
Yeah.
I really liked the gym teacher who, as a teenager, is just like a meathead and saying. He's saying things that like, so in the funny. Context of 2023, we think of as like, what a meathead. But like, I went to high school in the 90s and kids said way authentic. More aggressive shit than that.
And again, like all the humor is like her reactions to all these people acting like they would in the 80s. You know what I mean?
Well, but my point is like, even it's like still couched. Like it's still not like, it's like a fuzzy version of what the 80s was like.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, like, but otherwise, like, it is fun. For me, this is probably, like, I would call this a comedy that has, like, horror in it, or, like, horror stuff. It's not a horror comedy. Like, very little of the comedy is based on anything to do with horror.
Although occasionally weirdly violent for the tone of the movie.
That part is what, that was the other thing I was going to say. It's like,
it's kind of crazy.
This movie would, like, land with a lot of, like, you take out a couple of stabbing scenes and this basically is Hot Tub Time Machine with, like, a little less, like, TNA in it, if, from what I remember of Hot Tub Time Machine anyway.
There's a little bit.
Yeah, you could say, but, like, fair. You know, there's, it's also, like, I mean, I think, as Matilda pointed out, like, in a good way, it's focused on, like, the female characters, like, in a, that makes it a little, feel a little fresher. Like, there's that voice or that perspective is different than Hot Tub Time Machine, for sure. We're going to have a Kieran and Shipka conversation. Like, she doesn't, like, 100% carry this for me. Like,
oh, she's, I hard disagree.
Really?
Yeah, I disagree. Yeah, I think she's wonderful.
I mean, she's, it works. Like, I'm not saying it doesn't work. It's more just, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like she's a little bland.
Interesting. I see. I actually think she elevates the material even from where it is.
Oh, that's, I don't know. I mean, that's a fair, I guess. Look, maybe what I'm responding to is that her character is given very little other than going, like, you know, and, like,
yeah,
that. So maybe I'm responding. Maybe I'm putting it on her performance more when I really should be putting it on the writing. I don't know. Like, I just, character. Yeah. That character to me is, like, one of the weaker parts.
I guess
of
I
the
say
movie.
That because she just consistently made me laugh through the whole thing.
Yeah. Like,
just the delivery of those fish out of water style jokes, you know?
But a lot of it, it's not like her, I guess you could say her timing's good, but it's like, she's, it's not like she's got, like, some, like, witty line. She's just like, you can't say that. Like, it's, I don't know. That's literally half the jokes, you know?
Oh, I disagree. That one about, like, where there's some, where she's saying, like, please don't let that be the takeaway. Where the takeaway was going to be, like, if she'd given the blowjob, then she wouldn't have died. Yeah. Just like, let's not.
There's,
let
I mean, they're rapid fire, and there's so many good ones. So, I are you done, John?
I'm done. I can keep going, obviously, but
you know, I don't like to interrupt you, John.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, you hate that.
Man, I really like this movie. It's it's all about. Because I love Hot Tub Time Machine, but what that is mostly just, like, navel-gazy about the 80s, which kind of makes sense because that was really the beginning of 80s nostalgia coming back. Like, that movie came out in, like, 2009 or something like that. But what's cool here is it kind of works from both directions. Like, I like that they specifically hone in on this idea of this Gen Z person put back in time and just complete, like, one of the best running gags is how everyone's smoking in her face. Like, just completely put off by everything happened. Like, and, like, immediately she goes back in time and she's about to go into the high school and looks over and there's this, like, Native American mascot. It says, like, the Red Devils painted. She's like, oh God. Like, it's everywhere she turns.
In present day, they're called the Devils, I think.
Oh,
yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, the team name.
Or, you know, I loved the school officer lady who just would give her any personal information of any student. Yeah. And she's that like, was, what is happening? I mean, it's really funny. And I did think she was really funny and kind of elevates that. But what I liked is that it's the strongest part of the movie. And it's not just like window dressing in the first act that they kind of hit on and move away from. Even in the thick of it, in the third act, they're still dropping these situational humor jokes about her being in this foreign place, you know? And so for me, that really carried it. I guess I think that I think I was getting a little sleepy, John, if I'm being honest with you. Like, beginning of the third act, I'm like, all right, let's, like, I looked at the runtime at one point and was like, why is this movie so long? And it was only an hour 20 into it. So it is like an hour 50 though. You know how I feel about hour 50 movies. It's not great.
I agree.
It's really good. I enjoyed it. Honestly, a lot more than I thought I was going to from the first 5 minutes. Because the first thing I noticed is, like, why does this... You guys nailed it. Why does this look like a soap opera, or like a sitcom or something? And if, you know, it's not going to be able to escape the comparisons to something like Happy Death Day. And the biggest thing that Happy Death Day has over it is it's just like a neon aesthetic, like very kinetically put together. You know, it just has a ton of style, mm-hmm. which is honestly almost completely devoid in this movie, which is a bummer because I think it would have taken it to the next level.
Yeah, they're trying to, again, and this is where it's like, there's like...
I think you guys are overestimating 80s style.
Well, that's, I was going to say...
Like, no, I'm talking about the filmmaking style, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew what you were saying. Like,
no, they do the set dressing stuff pretty good.
I feel like that's what it was resting on its laurels a little bit of the like, people are just going to think it's funny to see this like different 80s stuff and like the Mollies and them having the four different Molly Ringwald outfits and...
I mean, the thing is, we've seen this same kind of thing so many times. So I think that this one wins on its writing because it's just really solid writing. But it, just could have done more.
Yeah, I feel like the Mollies were pretty well costumed. However, like sometimes you see things that are about the 80s by people who were not alive in the 80s and it looks
It's not like a caricature.
No,
Did you clock how old Nanochka Khan is? She turned 50 this year. I did. I looked.
Oh, okay. So she's pretty much exactly my age. I started high school in the year that this is set. So like she nails that kind of weird business casual that like girls would express themselves through like different kinds of weird business casual.
Yeah.
Shoulder pads.
I'm with Matilda on this one, and I understand the point you're making, like comparing this to Happy Death Day and stuff and the style and everything. I understand what you're saying, but for me, this was super accurate to the 80s that I remember. And that's what makes it feel good.
And
I know it's the film
style. I feel like we're arguing different points, though, because I agree with you there. But it's like, this could have been a TV show. This looks like Chucky the TV show, if you've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but that also looks like John Hughes movies to me a little bit, right? Like that looks like some kind of wonderful or pretty
Chucky the TV show does.
No, but this one.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I. Yeah.
Well, we're talking about the same thing, but I'm accepting of how this comes across. That
I will accept.
Matilda has perfect example for me. That's it. Makes it work for me.
I think Eric's just, you know, he's offering criticism for a thing he liked. So, you know.
Yeah.
I need things to be
I'm not really arguing
to
with
keep
him.
My attention, okay?
Eric, how was the orange tones for you? Were you okay with them?
They looked okay. No,
I did wear my orange for you.
There you go.
Yeah, this movie had actual color in it, which if you're going to make a retro thing, old movies used to have more than two colors.
Yeah.
Do we want to discuss the slasheriness?
Sure.
I thought it was medium to low.
Yeah. I think about this as something you could watch at like a middle school slumber party and nobody would get so scared they had to go home.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like this would be a good sleepover movie for like nobody would be that freaked out.
Except those death scenes were like crazy violent out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, they were violent, but you don't have the buildup of the chase as much as you would get in a standard
slasher. It's
not
suspenseful. The stalkery parts are played more for humor, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
and there's a lot of night noise.
Probably by design, but this movie, which I thought was an interesting aspect, but the kills are shorter too, I think, to help emphasize the fact that they're changing the timeline. Right. And they got to get that explanation in there too. I think that's where it comes from, but I think it does cuts out the suspense and makes those feel kind of wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, onto the next scene.
I was like curious, like when you say they're super violent, is it because of the like 16 stabs?
Yeah. Every time someone's getting stabbed, it's like crazy. I mean, not that we haven't seen that before, but in a film that's like so light and breezy, it's just,
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Well, the one, there's like the waterbed one, and like,
oh my
God. He's not even stabbing her most of the time. He's like stabbing the bed a lot.
Back it up. Can we talk about waterbeds? Because that was one of my favorite scenes in this. The fucking noise that waterbeds make is insane.
Dude, Eric, I don't know.
Like my cousin, so I had cousins that were more closer to your age, Casey, maybe a little older. So they were like teenagers in the 80s. And I remember one of them having a waterbed and thinking that it was like the coolest thing.
I had one.
How did anyone ever sleep on those things?
I had a waterbed as well. I had like a being single though. I had like a it was like a double or whatever the fuck the longer is it like a longer twin. Yeah,
that's what I had.
Completely insane.
It was weird. Like I fully admit that it was weird now in retrospect. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's heated. And that's pretty cool in the winter, and then it gets cold in the summer. So
I don't think mine was heated. That sounds fancy, dude.
You know what's also warm? A mattress.
Yeah. My girlfriend had a waterbed in high school, and it was a huge one, and we would all have these sleepovers on it. And if you were on the end, you were in danger of getting like wedged between the water bladder and the wall of this thing. And it was like tough to extract yourself from there.
Right, because the it needed this kind of like edge to it that was always really hard, like wood, basically, or, you know.
Yeah, because it was water, Eric.
Thanks, John.
Do they make them still? Could you buy a waterbed? I guess you could.
I honestly don't know.
You can buy anything you want these days. This is like we're in, you know, end of capitalism. I'm sure they can
buy a
waterbed. But remember, you couldn't even sit on the edge of your bed.
John, you can go to Wayfair.com right now and get a waterbed for $1,200.
It's not bad.
I remember there was a period when I was first renting. When I was first renting apartments, there was like a clause that you couldn't have a waterbed or you would have to put some huge deposit down. Is that still true?
Yeah, well, because they're too heavy. I think some of it's they're heavy and then they leak and like cause issues. And
or if you have any mishap and puncture it, it's a flood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Breaking news, John. There's been an update in waterbed technology because this says waveless.
Waterbed. Oh, I had a waveless one. They put extra beads in it. It doesn't work.
Yeah, but when was that?
That was an 87 waveless anyways.
Yeah.
It's supposed to make it so it doesn't bounce as much.
Wait, don't you want the waves? Isn't that part of the, that's like a pro of having a waterbed.
Right.
There's a balance, man.
I don't know. I did think the high school party was like, that's like, there were high school parties that were like that. That was like a accurate representation of high school party.
I never got invited.
This is like the first time I've ever heard you say this, John.
I know. Well, Eric, I thought you'd be excited.
Very, very.
And like I said, the jock talked like at least like a PG-13 version of a jock.
The younger version, he is so funny. Like just their interactions too when he keeps throwing her out of the party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch the jump from the present to the 80s and then matching up the characters to their cells to themselves from the past was one of my favorite parts, and like the little jokes they mixed in there, like with Karen Shipka's dad, played by Lachlan Monroe, who's been, you know, he's a big character actor. He was cracking me up, and you know, just making his dad jokes about how hot he used to be and stuff. And there was the little one-off line when she gets there and he comes out of the pool and she's like, "Oh God."
Yeah. I did. I like the guy, that actor they got to play the young you know, Blake, he was solid.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I've seen him before. I didn't like clock him from anything, but.
John, did you know that 1 in 5 Americans owned a waterbed in the 1980s?
Wow. I mean, we're 1 for 4 on this call, Casey, in the 80s. So,
yeah.
Did we want to hit, I had mentioned briefly earlier, do we want to hit the how old were the high school students from this movie in real life? The oldest one. I mean,
they
look
like 20s people, which actually would be accurate to 80s movie, right?
80s. So Liana Liberato, who plays the redheaded one, she's 28.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I was trying to see who was the
oldest.
She's
the one that was
in
Scream whatever?
Yeah, she was in Scream 6.
Is she a killer?
Is she a killer?
I think she's one of the killers in Scream 6.
Oh, she might. Yes. I haven't seen it. Spoiler alert for me, I guess.
Whoever they got to play the
like
mom
25 or 26.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Whoever they got to play the young version of the mom, I thought was great.
Oh yeah, she was good.
That was Olivia Holt, wasn't it?
Yeah, that is Olivia Holt.
Real weird casting for the younger version of the dad. Looked literally nothing like him.
Oh, I was saying I liked him. I thought he was good.
No, I thought he was fine.
The actor's funny, but it just kept throwing me off.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, it works though, just because before she jumped back in time, her dad bragged about how he used to have a six pack. That's the only reason it works.
Yeah, when he's wearing that shirt. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I don't know. This was fun. This was a fun. It was like a light, breezy fun.
Yeah, for me. Should I look up more waterbed facts?
Is there waterbed facts? I don't know. Are there other moments we haven't discussed?
There's just so many jokes. I wish I actually. It's the one time I wish I had made notes because there were just a lot of things I found funny.
Yeah, how I really. I got into the jokes and the references and picking those references out. There's so many.
Hold on. I know one thing that Eric wanted to talk about. Gravitron. Gravitron.
Yeah, okay. I also want to talk
very
about, the
worked about the Gravitron. Okay,
so what you don't know about me, John, is that this the ride that they feature at the in the finale of the mm-hmm. movie here. This was like my favorite ride as a kid.
Yeah, I've been on the Gravitron many times.
This is one of those cheap, you know, fair rides where it spins around and you stick to the walls basically, mm-hmm. and then those things like go up once you're like attached.
Which
to the wall.
Theirs did not do that in the movie, although it did look like one of the ones that would have done that.
I just
they didn't do the slide up and down.
Yeah.
Like the physics of what's happening here. Like, now granted, I was like 9 years old. At 9 years old, I remember not being able to move when you're like plastered to the wall. They're like walking around and fighting, and there's like knife shit. Like,
yeah, that's a little bit of a stretch.
As an aficionado of the Gravitron, John, it just.
You were getting worked up. I know. It was at one point they made it seem like the Gravitron was going super fast, like that was part of how it turned in. Look, the science here does not stand up. I don't think. Like, no. I think we can just say that up front. You know, you can't travel in time. First and foremost, I'm pretty sure. And also,
it's like a river.
Yeah, it might be like a river. Unproven. That part's not proven. The like using a Gravitron to create a time machine, that also I think is not possible. So
that was this was also called some places it was called a Rotor, which is an objectively.
They called it Gravitron in the movie though, didn't they?
Yeah, when I Googled it, it says Rotor/Gravitron.
Mm. It was definitely the Gravitron.
This ride may not
be
suitable for people that suffer from certain medical conditions.
I mean, yeah. I remember people could turn themselves upside down. Potentially.
Yeah. I had done that on the Gravitron.
Have you all ever witnessed anyone vomit on the Gravitron while it is happening? Because I was very amazed that it comes out and then hits the person next to you. That's what happens. Slams into the person next to you.
I didn't see it, but I was in a car where it happened and they made the ride stop and then you could smell it really badly.
I'm really making this dude happy this week that gets mad when I type. On August 20th, 1991, a Gravitron spun itself apart at the Missouri State Fair, injuring 7 children.
Wow.
They might have been trying to travel in time, actually.
Lawsuit against Murphy Enterprises.
Mm. Blah, blah. I do think the idea that you can stand and walk, like...
It's silly.
No.
I've seen a carny do it.
Yeah.
I've seen that in person. I've seen a carny stand up on that ride. Oh, it may not have been when it was up to full speed. It was in that in-between area before the boards start sliding up. But I've seen a carny do the standing up. I didn't see him walking around.
We should be able to, I'm
like
sure.
Like out
you
of
Google
the
this,
circle?
Like, no, like.
Like on the wall.
Yeah, like walk around the circumference.
Basically standing up on the pads.
I'm sure we can find out. I'm sure if you Google it, like what's the G force that's created by a Gravitron? Does it say that, Eric?
You want me to Google that?
I mean, because like if it's below
threaten me with a good time
3 or 4, I would think someone could probably stand up. Like it would have to be above 1, presumably, or you'd want to.
I love
be.
It. Someone's already Googled. This is great.
Yeah.
Your body inside a Gravitron is pinned to the wall by forces that feel as strong as 3 Gs.
Okay, there you go.
Or 3 times the normal force of gravity.
So you could stand up
similar
3 times.
Similar to what astronauts feel as they rocket into space.
Yeah.
I think they go. I think they're just children higher just than in that, it.
Right, and there was, I did like the accuracy of the one metal guy in the middle playing like thrash metal through the Gravitron, because that is the only thing that happens on the Gravitron, as far as I'm concerned. Or at least in movies, that was very accurate.
There was
accurate.
Always music inside. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did that thing spin or did it remain stationary? I couldn't remember.
They remained stationary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember there was the other thing that wasn't the Gravitron that was, that did basically the same thing, and it was made out of metal, and then it would like tilt like that.
Oh yeah, the tilt. And, yeah, what was that called? You'd chain yourself in and stand up. That one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one I was always afraid to ride.
they still have that. I mean, they still have the Gravitron too. You can. We were at the state fair earlier this year, and I did not go on the Gravitron, but they had one. So
I went on. I took my kids to this thing this summer and went on the Scrambler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Scrambler. The second it started up, I was like, I made a terrible mistake. Like,
you didn't.
Adults with acid reflux should not get on the Scrambler.
Well, you also got to be careful where you put the kids thing. Because you'll get you can squeeze. No, they
made sure will really squash somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, it's funny because on a recent Modern Family, Claire's wife or Julie Bowen's husband, Phil Dunphy on that show, they had a whole thing about him. He was all excited because his son was tall enough to ride the rides, and the whole joke was about he was getting older and the ride started making Phil, the husband, sick because he got to a certain age and it messes with your equilibrium. The Gravitron, when Delaney was like 7 or 8, was that moment for me. I got on it with her and I got off and I'm like, I can never do that again.
Oh, man. Yeah, I learned my lesson for sure. All right, guys. Would you recommend Totally Killer, Matilda?
Yes.
Casey?
Yes.
John?
Yeah.
I'm also going to say yes. You know what we're going to do after the break, John?
Ooh.
Well, top 10 action.
Eric, I'll tell you, it's getting packed in that top 10. Yeah. Let's go.
I already know what's going.
All right.
Let's take a quick break and do some fan mail.
Last year, you were terrified by House. Now there's an all-new House. With brand new owners.
Is she a virgin? Because I've never seen one before.
We got a little problem in the other room. Better come have a look.
And the place is really coming to life.
Thanks, Charlie.
I got you, Jim!
House 2, the second story.
I've seen enough tragedy and disaster to make you want to upchuck in your shorts.
Rated PG-13. Starts Friday, July 10th at a theater near you.
Hey, I'm Tom Atkins. Thrill me. You're listening to Bloody Good Horror.
info@bloodygoodhorror.com or on Twitter using #AskPGH. Join Patreon to get back episodes and much more. Patreon.com/bloodygoodhorror.
My number one is not changing, John. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Feels great. So good.
You like it?
So good. The most horror movie. We're going to go through your list at the end of the year and be like, how many of these are actually horror movies? But
yeah, no, that's cool. I'm going to get rid of Talk to Me. I'm going to wait to get rid of that one. Just didn't do it for me. I really like this movie. I guess I'm going to put this at... Okay. I'm going to put it at 8. So I'll bump Scream 6 and Knock at the Cabin down. Knock at the Cabin is definitely next. There we go.
Magical.
info@bloodygoodhorror.com.
Everybody's favorite bit.
It's my favorite bit, John. I know. That's all that matters.
I'm aware.
info@bloodygoodhorror.com is the email address. Caitlin and Kissimmee sent a couple of emails, but she offended me. She knows what she did. So I'm not going to read them. Long time. You remember Randy Katzen, John?
Randy. Yeah, of course. Come on.
Classic.
Love Randy.
Haven't heard from him in a while. He says, what aging actor do you want to be in the next kids puppet show theater goes wonky movie?
Oh.
Oh, like I guess like last week, like Five Nights at Freddy's.
Or Nick Cage.
So his options are Robin Will. Suggestions. Williams? Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, John Cusack, Steve Buscemi.
I would watch the shit out of Steve Buscemi.
Yeah,
like
so that. It's pretty good. Steve Buscemi, right?
I was like, is Kathy Bates an option? That's the other one I want.
Yeah, that would be a good one too.
Also good. Al Pacino, I mean, like, who fucking knows with that guy anymore?
That'd be more a reality show, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, him and De Niro are basically like 100 at this point. I would take John Cusack too. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's it for email. What else we got, Casey?
We got a couple threads out there.
Threads.
Yeah. All right. We are Bloody Good Horror on Threads, if you care to join us. The drummer from Foghat says, a few weeks ago, Eric quickly mentioned Horror in the High Desert. I watched it, and the last 10 to 20 minutes were genuinely terrifying.
Thank you.
I saw there is a sequel. Has anyone seen it? Is it worth it?
I did not think the sequel was as good, but I feel like I'm the only person I've seen with that. So I feel like everyone else I've seen loved the sequel, but it just didn't do it for me.
All right.
But it's not, yeah, it's not I bad. Also watched, it's just like the last 20 minutes of that first one, I'm still recovering.
Yeah, you recommended this last time I was here, or maybe the time before, and I went and watched
and
it.
And you watched
great.
It?
It's so good.
Nice.
That's the found footage one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want John to watch, honestly, because he's not going to like it. It's going to hurt my feelings, if I'm being honest. This is why when we do staff picks, I don't actually pick movies that are important to me.
Yeah, you're just like, I don't want to hear from John.
Keeping
about
that
this.
For me, John.
Yeah,
fair. I mean, I'm biased because I'm pretty horrified by anything related to being alone. Like, the horror of being alone is a genre that I do not like. Like, I've never seen Castaway for this reason. I think it's going to be too much for me. So, like,
it's not even horror movie.
Castaway is great.
It's a good movie. He has this ball, so he's fine. He does
it's great.
It's
a feel good. Yeah, I mean, it's like, maybe it's only a feel good movie to me. But
Eric's like, oh, the peace and quiet.
Maybe
seems
feel good
nice.
Is a bit far.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have Metal Prof. What will be the first thing to become sentient and take over the world? ChatGPT, Bard, or Casey's hair?
Don't plug it into the internet.
Which one's Bard? That's Google's AI thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Elon Musk just announced some dumbass X thing they're making.
I think it's X live, isn't it? Something. Grok?
Yeah. Grok, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will defend ChatGPT, though. I'm a big fan. Huh? All
right. It is, honestly, it is kind of neat.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for it to be voice activated. That's really what I want, to be able to talk to it. Like, I don't want to type.
Yeah. It's pretty close. I think you could probably, ones you could do that.
I could probably hack it if I cared enough.
I use it daily for work, and I do a lot of research, and it is amazing for helping with research.
When I was doing more newsier stuff, I used to have it rewrite headlines for me.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty good at PowerShell scripts, too. All right, next up, Ryan Tehan. Now that we've seen Horror Groundhog Day, Horror Freaky Friday, and Horror Back to the Future, which classic comedy would you like to see get the horrified twist next?
Caddyshack.
That is what our buddy Skylar replied to Ryan Tehan was waiting patiently for Horror Caddyshack.
Meatballs.
Back to school. Yeah.
Yeah, Meatballs would be good.
Isn't there an alien in Meatballs too?
There might be. I don't know that I've seen Meatballs too, actually. That sounds right.
Yeah, there is.
I think I've seen Meatballs.
I was thinking it was the first one,
but not the second one.
And wasn't the alien's name Shithead?
I've only seen it once years ago. But that sounds pretty cool.
I would watch Horror Back to School, though, for sure. Mm-hmm. Sally Kellerman.
Yeah. Honestly, you could make a pretty fun horror flick out of Goonies, too, with the adventure aspect.
I mean, Goonies is like borderline. Almost a horror movie.
Yeah. Last up comes from Popcorn.Designs, which is our buddy Skylar. Did anyone have that relative that always got way drunk and said awful things at Thanksgiving dinner or holiday get-togethers?
God, yes.
Spill that tea. I thrive off family drama as long as it's not my own.
Man, I was just talking to Mark about this. What about you, John? Do you have any drunk out-of-pocket relatives?
It honestly wasn't even that drinking related. Like, I just have very loud and opinionated relatives, and like, they would just like fight about things. I mean, it happens all the time. It's pretty standard.
My aunt got really drunk one Thanksgiving and was calling everyone Peckerwood for some reason. I'm like, wouldn't stop. But it's mostly like what? People just getting too drunk and being emotional, way too emotional for the situation. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Tears by 8 o'clock.
No, we got to the point where there could be no politics talk at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Again, sure. Not alcohol. That was not alcohol fueled. That was just like people being a-holes mm-hmm. about politics. So,
yeah.
You know.
Who are these people that are trying to talk politics on Thanksgiving?
Well, Eric, this was in like the late 90s. It wasn't even, I'm not talking like 3 years ago. But it was even bad back then. At the old, the Schnars Terstappen Thanksgiving, at least. So,
did everyone watch the second season of The Bear? That was the most accurate. As an Italian American, I felt totally validated and re-traumatized by that.
John, is that that's your middle name, right?
Yeah, it's your second. It's my mom's.
Is that a family?
Name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's my mom's maiden name.
Classic.
We don't even need to get into The Bear. I'm pretty anti-Bear after I thought season two was like very overrated. That's my personal opinion. That episode with Jamie Lee Curtis. I'm just like, why is anyone putting up with her? Like, just fucking put her outside and be like, sorry, you're fucking crazy and you're ruining everyone's time.
Oh, like, I mean, don't.
That would not have flown in any family that I was ever been. People would just be like, you shut the fuck up right now or we're all leaving. That's just like how this is going to be. Oh, I couldn't deal with it.
I have another one, but it's not actually my relative. So maybe I shouldn't share that story. I'll tell you.
I've been lucky. My family's. Well, my side of the family, like my mom's family, are the type that you don't argue in public. It's uncouth. Mm. But then Colleen's side of the family are all Irish, and it's usually a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if I don't have my kids now, like, I'm dropping in for dinner and leaving immediately after. And you can just enjoy me while I'm there.
Gotta mix it
up. So you're saying you do the Irish goodbye to your own family, too?
Oh, you know I'm the master of the Irish goodbye, Casey. It's not even up for debate. Is that it?
That is it for Threads.
Okay. I should have pulled up Twitter while you were doing that, but I didn't. I don't even have the account open.
I need to catch up on The Bear. I've watched a good chunk of the first season that got sidetracked. So
I watched a couple episodes. I like that guy, the actor.
Yeah. I'm tired of seeing the listicles online, though, of saying that trying to fool people into thinking that he is the grandson of Gene Wilder.
He does look like Gene Wilder. He really
does
look like Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to skip that. Let's go to...
Jamie Lee Curtis is fantastic.
If I can't understand your question,
well, she's
just from reading it.
Wonderful, but...
We're moving on. All right, Totally Killer was fun, but I really want to hear what you guys think about When Evil Lurks. I think that's on the list.
It's coming up. It's coming.
It's
soon.
On the list.
I actually said ask Casey, but I was pretty sure
it was on post Thanksgiving.
It'll be the post Thanksgiving snack.
This is a good one. I want John's advice for this. I want to try my first horror convention. Any advice?
Wear deodorant.
Wear deodorant. Yeah, that's a good one. Here's my advice. Get a hotel room in the hotel so you can take naps when you need them and bring lots of snacks and water and provisions.
Hold on. We don't like this person might just like be stopping in for the day. Like they're not.
No, it doesn't matter. Get the hotel room.
I mean, that's fine too.
If you're asking me for my advice, John, that's what it is.
I feel like a lot of people aren't showing up to horror cons. Like we showed up to horror cons to basically like get hammered and, you know, like walk around acting crazy.
You saw how many people were getting hammered with us.
That's fair. I mean, there was a lot of it. It wasn't just us.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, you're going to, like, just take it in. Like, my advice is just, like, go. You better be there with an open mind because you're going to see all kinds of shit. Even horror-jaded people, I feel like you're going to go and be like, oh, I didn't know there were people that did that. Like,
Yeah, John?
No, it's in a good way.
You're such a normie, John.
Honestly, though, take yourself a backpack, especially if you're going for like a day trip. Take yourself a backpack.
Yeah.
And don't fill it up, but you know, put some snacks and stuff in there because the food will get expensive. And especially if you plan on shopping, you're not going to want to carry it around all day. Mm-hmm. Throw it in your backpack. That'll be huge for you.
set a budget because you can spend fucking money at things too.
Set a budget, another good idea. Not my strong suit, but yes, that's a good idea.
And as I tell my daughter, whenever we go to conventions, you go to the merch hall. It's going to be overwhelming, but do a pass first. Walk through it, take a look at everything, and then find out what you want.
It's one of two things, right? So either you're interested in like autographs, meeting celebrities, getting pictures, which is all going to cost you money. When I started doing these things, when I went to like my first few in the like early 2000s, it was considerably cheaper than it. Like people didn't charge you for pictures back then. Now they do. So if you want to like get an autograph and to get a picture, you're talking like extra money. But I sort of largely got over that at some point and just enjoyed the vendors. Like you'll find lots of artists and, you know, like little independent t-shirt people and stuff like that. So,
yeah. And there's, and you know, if this is your first con and you want to get those autographs, that's A-okay. Just be prepared for that extra cost.
Yeah.
It'll shock you at first, the first time you see the signs.
Mm-hmm. Now that Halloween's over, do you switch to Christmas themed horror, John? I know you, the answer for you.
I'm very excited for Thanksgiving themed horror.
Thanksgiving, so. Yeah, that does look good.
What's that other big one that's coming up here at the end of the year?
I guess
a wonderful
will.
Knife.
I guess I will try to watch Black Christmas once a year.
It's the original, the Bob.
The
Clark.
Original, yes, John.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not a heathen.
I don't know. You can pick which remake you want, which remake you like. So,
what's something from the 80s you would like to come back, or the 90s, if you're not from the 80s? I mean, VHS is my answer.
Teddy Ruxpin.
Teddy Ruxpin. That's a psychotic answer, John.
Yeah. You know what we got? Toys. We got my kids for the first time. Kicks.
Kicks.
That's probably from the 80s, right?
That's pretty cool. I like that.
They're great. Love Kicks.
You know, this is just off the top of my head because the new Ghostbusters Frozen Empire trailer came out today, the first teaser trailer.
Yeah, did you see that, John?
I have not seen it. I did.
Back in New York.
Okay.
And now it freezes for some reason.
Yeah. But here's my vote for something to come back from the 80s. Since we got Ghostbusters movies, bring back the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
Hmm.
Okay. That's good stuff.
All right. That's it for Instagram. We had a couple of things on Slack here. This one's from our friend Julie, John. She says, I'll ask a question that I got from my 5-year-old on our drive home from school today. When your eyes blink, why is it so quiet? It is surprising you don't really hear anything when I really thought about it.
Wait, you're saying that you don't
why
hear
why can't you hear the yourself blink is what her child asked.
Mm. I thought she was saying when I blink, I'm not hearing, like it like shuts off the noise too or something. I don't know. The whole thing is very confusing to me. You can hear
John,
yourself
when we
blink.
Talk about how you won't play yes and with me, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
I was gonna say, if you blink like really quickly, like you can hear it. Like if you do the, you know, you blink a lot.
Can we call Rachel, please? She would answer this question for me.
I am answering. You can hear it. If you blink like aggressively, you will hear it.
Stop, John.
The nerdy answer is because your eyes are wet.
There, that sounds right.
Oh, see? Mm-hmm. That's a... There you go, Casey. Thank you. All right, next up is logical. Levi. What's your favorite song from the 80s?
Oh, that's a tough one. There's so many good ones.
I have an answer for this, and I think it's largely because of Boogie Nights, but I think it's Jesse's Girl.
Oh, interesting. I thought you were going to go Sister Christian.
No. Dude, what's his face? Alfred Molina rocking out to that song in that movie?
Yeah. What is... I have to like look up the name. Oh, Your Love by The Outfield.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Your Love. What is that?
You would know the song. It's
sing it.
You would.
I'm not singing, but... Come on, no, the other one... what's the Pat Benatar song? There's like
which one?
A bunch of them, obviously. Yeah. Because the Night, is that her?
Oh, yeah.
Because night.
Yeah. No.
Lovers.
Mm.
That's not her.
That's not her.
Are you thinking of Shadows of the Night?
Maybe.
I think I would also put Tainted Love on my list.
Tainted Love's good.
For me, it's Heart and Soul by Tapao, which always has such a
what is that?
Place in my heart. Oh, you should go listen to that. Although also the Killing Moon by Echo and the Bunnymen that was in this movie. Excellent song.
Yeah.
Excellent song. Yeah.
I was really thrown. The first like 80s track they drop is that song that throughout the whole 90s was used for like secret deodorant or something.
Yeah.
Or the Shannon Let the Music
Lady
Play
Razors
song?
Or something. Like, yeah. I'm not going to sing it, but you know.
No, please do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go way back.
If you're not
I'll go
familiar with Tapao, go look it up. Sorry, Casey.
I'm not.
I'll go way back, but I always loved Jackson Browne's Somebody's Baby.
Oh, Jackson Browne is, yeah.
Good stuff.
This is not a question, but it's kind of interesting. Aussie Andy says, Australian high schools in the 80s were so different from in the US. I based everything I knew of US schools based on John Hughes movies. And this movie hit all the marks. Here's the thing though. All those John Hughes movies were like California high schools, which were not like anywhere else in the country.
Yeah.
Like nowhere else had outdoor lockers. You know what I'm saying? Like that wasn't a thing.
Wait, weren't they all supposed to be outside of Chicago?
The Hughes, John Hughes movies were in Chicago.
Well, okay. I'm thinking like the Hughes adjacent, like just,
but the California, your California high schools. Yeah. I honestly, I always thought that was a movie thing until I had a coworker a few years ago that grew up out there in California, and he happened to mention offhand, he's like, yeah, and I had to go outside for our lockers. And I'm like, wait,
I mean,
that's
cool.
A real thing.
I'm not going to lie, but it's just not, it's no one else's experience.
That's so funny. I grew up in California, so like I look at Pretty in Pink and I'm like, why are they inside? Because everything is outside where we are, although James Spader is very accurate.
That's what it was like for the rest of us. Because it was cold.
Because we get weather.
Let's see. This is a good one, John. This is an existential question. You know, I like those. If you could go back in time, what small change would you make? And how do you think it would affect your current life?
Small change.
What you got,
I mean,
John? I know your life is perfect, but give me something.
There's not a lot of changes I think
I would
about
start,
making.
This is what I would do, John. I would start doing like actual leg exercises much sooner because I didn't start till I was almost 40. If you're like out there, you're like a 20, 30 something, you're like, just like get on the leg day. It's going to save you a lot of back problems later on.
You got to do the, it's the hips and the glutes is what you need. I guess you're calling that leg day, but yeah,
it's,
sure. Okay. It's core. It's core.
Core.
Sure, John.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm reading this book right now. I mean, you guys aren't going to want to hear this. I'm reading this book called Outlive, which is like one of these like best-selling, like it's like the new science of longevity and like not in like a woo-woo way. Like he like goes into what causes cancer and like all this shit. And there's a lot of shit. You read that book and you're like, man, if I would go back, it's like the whole book is basically answers to this question. Now it's all shit you can do when you're 42. It's not the end of the world, but you know, so.
Better late than never, John.
Apparently I'm supposed to start taking statins like immediately according to this book. So
really? Do you have, this just, he just thinks everyone should.
He thinks, like it, the science around
what
like,
do they do? What lower blood pressure?
No, cholesterol.
Cholesterol.
Oh. Man, my cholesterol is pretty good.
The like what most general practitioners call good cholesterol and like what he says is ideal are like very different.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Send me this, John. I want to read this.
Yeah, I'll ping it to you. You like it. I think you'll be into it.
I probably wouldn't have. I've told myself to not try cigarettes in eighth grade.
Did you smoke for a long time?
Oh, yeah. I smoked for years and years.
Gross, dude.
I hit it a lot in high school and then was pretty regular from high school till about 40.
Okay.
40?
Yeah, I was smoking. Wow. I used to smoke when we started here.
I guess I didn't know that.
No, it's just like an occasional vape.
John, Julie's just noticing that you cut your hair, so her morning begins today. I've already moved through it, honestly. Matilda, where can people find you when you're not here?
People can find me over at the Zombie Girls, also with Rachel and Ariel, who are often guests here, at ZG Podcasts, plural, BloodyGirl.com. And one of the things that if people want more about a Totally Killer, Rachel and Ariel talked to Nanochka Khan and interviewed her on a recent episode of More Deadly. So you can go here and talk to her. She's great.
Is that on the same feed, the Zombie Girls feed?
I think it is, yeah. Because it all comes through the main Zombie Girls feed.
Yeah.
She seems very funny.
Yeah, she was a great interview. Yeah.
All right, yeah. People, get on it. All right, what do we do next week, John?
Theater? I just had this up. No. No One Will Save You. It's on Hulu. You.
Yes.
What's the elevator pitch on that?
Aliens.
Yeah.
Aliens. Got it. Oh, this was the one I wanted to see.
It's getting a lot of buzz on this. It's been out for a little while. We're catching up here.
All right.
We've had a busy theater schedule for the last month or two. So
what's the next? There's something in the theater coming up.
Well, Thanksgiving comes out is the week after that. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So what it's looking like right now, I believe we'll be doing No One Will Save You, Thanksgiving, and then When Evil Lurks.
And then we're almost at the end of the year.
Hey, we are.
You're under time.
Go ahead. Sorry. Well, we can wrap. We'll discuss after.
It's off-air conversation.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed the show. And we'll talk to you next week.
See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.